Good morning. Man, so good to see everybody here this morning. And yes, I'm back on the stool. For those of you who are visiting with us, I'm not a stool preacher. I like standing up and moving around. In fact, it's really hard for me to think sitting down. I don't know why. Okay, I'll try not to. But I'll tell you, I am getting better. For those of you who are visiting, I hurt myself a couple of weeks back playing sports. I know, grow up. I realized that I would get better throughout the week, and Sunday would roll around. I'm on my feet from about 5 in the morning till sometime after lunch, and so I'd get home, and my foot would be swollen, and it would start that process all over again. And so my doctor said, look, you just need to sit down for a while and preach until your foot is better. And so I did that last week. I got home and my foot was not swollen. Praise God. My foot is getting better. And thank you so much. I know a lot of that has to do with your prayers. And I'm just so grateful for those prayers. Also, if you're visiting with us, right now we're in a series entitled Don't Give Up. And the reason I decided to do this series is because I know and you know that life can get hard. And it's very easy for us to get discouraged. And I think we would all agree to that. And so oftentimes when things get hard and we start to get discouraged, sometimes it's very easy to throw in the towel and give up. We talked about last week how oftentimes one of the first things we want to do is give up on God. And if you miss that lesson, I want to encourage you to get a copy of that on CD. We'll give that to you for free. You can watch it off of our Facebook page, or you can go to our webpage and you can watch it off of there as well. But today we're going to be talking about giving up on others. Don't give up on others. In fact, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, and I hope you'll take this text home with you today, and I hope you'll meditate on it this week. This is what Paul writes. Carry each other's what, church? Burdens. And then here's the really interesting part. And in this way, you will what, church? You will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, I say that's kind of interesting because I think for most people, they don't think of carrying others' burdens as fulfilling the law of Christ. I mean, I think so oftentimes as we think of the law, we think of a list of rules, right? Checking the box. These are the things I'm not supposed to do. These are the things I'm supposed to do. You know, I'm supposed to come every service or every Sunday to worship, and I should put, you know, some money in the collection plate, and I have to be very, very careful about the things that I say. But notice what Paul says. When we see someone else carrying a weight and we decide to come along beside them and help them carry that weight, we are fulfilling the law of Christ. Now, here's the question. How's this going for you? You know, sometimes it's good just to take some self-evaluation. How's this going for me? And really what I want you to think about is how over the last couple of weeks, and maybe try and bring some stories and some names into your minds of people that you have helped carry some sort of burden. Maybe they were struggling and you encourage them. Maybe they were dealing with something difficult and you prayed with them and maybe shared a passage of Scripture. Maybe someone needed some help and you met whatever need it was. I mean, you served them and you were there for them and you helped them to carry that load. And Paul says, when we help carry someone else's burden, not our own burden, okay? When we help carry someone else's burden, we fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, we are acting like Jesus. Because you see, Jesus was the great burden bearer, right? Right? I mean, here we are, we're carrying around the weight of sin, and Jesus took that from us. He bore our sin for us. He is the great burden bearer. And so when we come alongside other people and we help carry their load, we help carry their burden, then guess what? We're being like Jesus. We're fulfilling the law of Christ. And this is very important. Okay, don't dismiss this today. It's very important because as a church, this is what we're supposed to be doing for each other. This is what makes church, church. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, Slate, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I mean, I don't think I've ever had anyone bear my burdens. I don't think I've ever had anyone here at Central help me to carry the load, to carry some of the things that I've gone through in my life. And here's what I would ask you. Are you connected? I mean, it's one thing to come and to sit and listen to a lesson like you're hearing today and be encouraged and maybe some seed was planted, but listen to me. If you're not connecting with the family, if you're not showing up regularly for worship, you know, studies show that years ago, man, for most people, they were here at least once a week. Now studies show that people might show up two, maybe three times a month. One if you're lucky. And let me tell you, if you're not coming, if you're not making those connections with other people, then let me tell you something, you are going to miss out on this. Because again, that's what makes church, church. This week on Facebook, just asked our church family to share a time when someone helped them carry a burden. I want to share some of these with you. Becky Clark wrote about how Michelle Hall was there for her through her breast cancer. She said she checked on me every day, even before my biopsy. She's helped me through the whole process by helping me stay positive and courageous. She gives me inspiration. She makes me laugh. She has been there for me and still is. I know that I can call her at any time. Even as she's going through her own stuff, she makes time for me. She calls me and prays for me every day. She is truly a gift from God. Darlene McKee sent me a message talking about how these four ladies, Rila, Myra, Dorothy, and also Marlo, and some of you may know Sandra. I know that's five, I can count. But these ladies have really helped her with a lot of the things that she's going through with her grandchildren. She said it's been these ladies, and she calls them her Disney pals because sometimes they go to Disney together. But she says they have helped me carry the weight of this burden. Judy Clark wrote about how there was a situation in her life 2 years ago. She said, I'd lost my way and I felt like I had nowhere to go or no one to turn to. On a dreary, rainy night, I drove to Edna Jay's house. She welcomed me with open arms. She let me cry as I shared my heart with her. I didn't feel like she was being judgmental or condemning. In her sweet, soft-spoken manner, she shared with me what I already knew but needed to be reminded of. She helped me see my situation from another perspective. God truly blessed me through this outreach. Eva Joyner also wrote me this week, and she talked about how so many of the women here at Central, and she named so many of you, had been amazing in helping her carry the weight of a lot of the stuff she's been going through. And some of you know about that. But she said, God surely knew that I would need all of you. Linda Oxford wrote, the women at Central are truly wonderful. When my son died, I was devastated by the loss and hurt. And some of the ladies, Edna, Deb, Lisa, Judy Clark, drove in the dark to pick me up and drive me to Bradenton to my surgery. It shows no matter how low you are, your sisters are always there as a true example. Sometimes it's very hard just to be real. I think we keep stuff inside because we feel like people won't like us, but that's not true at Central, and I appreciate every single lady there. Sharon Cook wrote about how Judy Clark encourages her daily. She also talked about how on several occasions, Becky Bishop, Dorothy Brown, and Darlene McKee have taken her to lunch. She said, I have trials and struggles, but I could be me with them and not feel ashamed. She said, there are so many that have helped her, and she writes, thank you, church family. Each of you for your prayers, encouragement, and for accepting me just as I am, broken and imperfect. God has truly blessed me with an awesome family here. And then one more, Deb Newsell also messaged me this week, and she said, our family wouldn't have made it through the numerous burdens of this life if it wasn't for the Venable family. They have held my hand and encouraged me more than I can begin to mention. They are trustworthy, dependable, exceptional listeners, and have hearts and lives that shout and demonstrate the love of Jesus. And how many of you this morning could say that you've experienced something similar? That moment where the weight felt the heaviest. And someone came alongside you and they helped you carry that weight. And you asked for help, and that was extremely humbling. But they came alongside you and they helped you carry the weight just as you had helped them at times carry their weight. And that's what it looks like to be the church. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, my children, we should love people not only with words and talk, but by our what, church? By our actions and true caring. I'm going to have to get up. My bottom needs a break sometime. Y'all laugh, but that stool, after teaching and preaching, starts to hurt. But I brought this bag up as an illustration this morning because all of us have bags that we carry around in life. And in these bags, we'll just say we put our hardships, our hurts, our struggles, our burdens, our fears, our anxieties, our insecurities, and for our lifetime, many times we carry this around. We carry these bags around. There may be some of you here this morning who was just absolutely heartbroken that your parents got a divorce. I mean, you were extremely hurt, and well, that goes in the bag. It may be that there are some of you this morning who have experienced divorce. Maybe your spouse was unfaithful to you. And you've been carrying that around, and it's in here. It's in the bag. Or maybe you lost a spouse, and you're just absolutely heartbroken, and you carry that around. It's in your bag. Or maybe it's some sin. the guilt of some sin that you carry around. I mean, you wish you could go back and you wish you could change things, but the fact of the matter is, you can't. And you've been carrying it around, maybe a lot of things around for years. And let me tell you something about this bag. It can get really, really heavy. And maybe that's why some of you are here today. Maybe you got a lot of stuff in the bag. And it's gotten to the point where it's too heavy. You begin to realize, you know what? I can't carry this by myself. I remember when we first started going to Disney, and you guys know I'm cheap. I'm a tightwad. I'm not going to pay those Disney prices for food. And so I would take a bag like this full of all kinds of food and drinks. And I, at the start of the day, right? I mean, I'm carrying this thing around, and it's no problem. But let me tell you something. Over time, it starts to get heavy. And I'm like, okay, who's ready to carry the bag? And life can get heavy. And we can't carry our weight, our burdens by ourselves. Now, some of you may be thinking this morning, well, Slade, I hear what you're saying, but let me tell you something. I've got the bag. I mean, nobody needs to carry my bag. I've got this by myself. I'm not letting anyone help me. Because you see, there was a time, Slate, where I asked someone to help me carry the bag. Maybe it was a parent, maybe it was a friend. Someone that I really trusted, and they dropped the bag. And so I'm carrying my own bag by myself now. In other words, you've given up on people. You're doing life by yourself because you've been hurt. And God says that's not good. Did you realize that? You know, you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, where God is creating the universe and everything in it, including Adam, man, and he's looking around, he's going, man, this is good, and this is good, and this is good. And then we get to chapter 2, and God looks at man alone, and what does he say, church? That's not good. And so he created a helpmeet. He created someone to come alongside Adam and help him carry that load. He created woman. He created Eve. It's not good to be alone, God says. First of all, it's not good physically. I want to read this. I always love reading this. I think I may have shared this with you before. In his book, Trading Chaotic Lifestyles for Connected Relationships, this is what Randy Frazee writes. He writes about this research that was conducted on 232 patients who had undergone cardiac surgery. He says, of those patients, 21 died within 6 months. He says there were two significant mortality factors that emerged from the study. The first one was a lack of participation in social or community groups. And the second was the absence of strength and comfort from religion. And so Frazee goes on to say that social involvement can predict mortality as strongly as elevated cholesterol levels. And social isolation contributes to illness and death as much as smoking. And so Frazee puts it like this: if you feel you must smoke, for goodness sake, don't do it alone. Studies have proven there's an increased risk of cardiovascular disease, stroke, and even a progressive a progression of Alzheimer's when people try and do life alone. But also spiritually, when people try and carry their burdens alone, typically what you see is over time, eventually, they drop out. They give up. And we see this in other areas of life. They were doing a study of runners where they would send out these runners running by themselves to see how far they could run. And then they took those same runners and they paired them up with other people to see how far they could run. And those who ran in groups ran significantly further than when they ran by themselves. AA. One of the things that makes AA so successful is the each other factor. They tell you if you try and overcome an addiction on your own, typically it doesn't work because the bag is too heavy. You need someone to help you carry the load, and the same is true spiritually. To make it in this life, we need someone to help us carry the bag. Now, what I want to do before we close out is I just want to share some ways that we can do that. In the first passage, we're just going to kind of go down through here shotgun fashion, but the first passage is found in Hebrews chapter 10. And to kind of give you a little bit of context, the Hebrew writer is writing to a group of Christians that's really going through a hard time. They're experiencing persecution and they're suffering. And so he says in verse 34, "You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. And when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever." Now here's what I want you to see about this particular passage. The Hebrew writer writes it in past tense language. You suffered, not your suffering. He also says, you accepted it, not you are accepting. He says, you knew, not you know. In other words, this is what you used to do. This is who you used to be. But not anymore. You see, they were struggling. They started off strong, but now they were struggling and they were starting to get tired. The bag had gotten too heavy. And so he writes in verses 23 through 24, he says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering." And that word wavering there literally means to stay the course. Right? We're not getting off course. We're gonna keep pushing forward to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us, and then notice this part, church, let us think of ways to what? To motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us motivate each other to keep going. Just about every Friday, our family will go to Disney. And for a while with our kids, okay, that was wonderful and great, but now we can say to Shepherd, hey, we're going to Disney today, and he'll go, And so I'll give him some motivation. I'll say, "Hey, I'll buy you a pack of jelly beans." He's like, "Hey, let's go, buddy." We motivate one another. That word motivate means to stimulate someone's interest in or enthusiasm for doing something. It's like rekindling the fire. We're to motivate one another. We're to rekindle that fire, to keep the fire going within us. And some of you, some of your translations may even say spur one another on. And it's this idea of, well, just being irritating. You ever had a rock in your shoe? And for a while, you try and push through it. I mean, it's just a little bitty pebble, and you're walking on. It's like, oh, man. And finally, you get so irritated, you take off the shoe, something you should have done a long time ago, and you get the pebble out. There are some of you that's really good at irritating. Motivating. Stirring people on to do good works. And love, and that's awesome. That's what we're called to do as Christians. Also in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, he goes on to say, "And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." And some of you say, yeah, we've heard this passage 1,000 times, Slade, and we get it. It's talking about coming to worship. Well, that's part of it. But there's really a deeper meaning, and it's this: we need to show up for each other. Now, I'm going to say something this morning, and this is probably going to irritate some of you, but I think it's one of those things that needs to be said. A lot of Christians want other Christians to show up for them, but they don't want to show up. After 23, almost 24 years of ministry, I've seen people who have come and they've gone, and when asked why they're leaving, no one called me, no one made food for me, no one checked on me, no one showed up at my surgery, no one showed up for me. And I always want to ask the question, who have you shown up for? Think about that for a moment. Who have you called? Who have you visited? Whose surgery have you gone to? Who have you made food for? Because you see, here's the deal. This is an each other. This is an each other thing. We are to show up for each other. And when we do that, we're fulfilling the law of Christ. We are behaving. We're living like Jesus lived. And so I would challenge you, before you put those expectations on others, I would challenge you to ask yourself, when was the last time I did that for someone? Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in love. Church, we refer to Central as our family. It is. You guys are family, and it's a lot like a physical family. And you know, one of the things that you'll discover about a physical family, and you guys tell me if this is true or not, but there's always someone in your family whose bag is always full. Am I right? I mean, every time you get together as a family reunion, there is always that person whose bag is full. I mean, every single time, you know, I'm going through this and I need help here. And you know, a loving physical family will come together and they'll help them carry the weight. And the same is true within our spiritual family. There's always going to be people whose bag is always full. There's always going to be people who are there needing us to help them carry that weight. And that's what we do, because we're devoted to one another. And I want to share this with you guys. Probably the majority of you here don't know this. I want to tell you how devoted this congregation is. This congregation was started back in 1920. And so this year, 2020, and I can't give you the exact date yet, it's in the works, but this year we will be celebrating 100 years as a church family. And that takes people like you being devoted to one another, saying, I'm in it for the long haul. We make mistakes, I still love you. devoted to one another in love. James, I'm going to move. James 5:16, pray for each other so that you may be healed. Let me challenge you with something this week. I want to challenge you to find three people that you can pray for. And it would be even better if you could pray with them. You know, call somebody up, go and visit someone, and ask them specifically, what can I pray for you about? And let me tell you something, when you pray with someone and you pray for someone, it lifts a burden. It really does. It helps them carry their burden. Also, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18, encourage one another. And this word encourage is, there's a deeper meaning than just saying kind things to someone. It actually means to speak courage into someone who is tired and weary. It means to tell someone, even though they're tired and weary, keep going. Keep going. And then one last thing. Galatians 5:13, serve one another humbly in love. And I'm sure some of you have experienced this, but there is something about serving others that makes our own bag feel a lot lighter. You ever notice that? In fact, when I have people who come to me and, man, they're just really discouraged and they're really just having a hard time, one of the things I'll encourage them to do is get out and serve someone else. Because when we get out and we serve someone else, it gets us out of this mode where we're only thinking about ourselves, and in turn, when we serve others, it just makes that burden that much lighter. And there's all kind of ways we can do this. Cook for someone who's going through a hard time. Babysit for a young family that needs a break. Help someone financially, maybe by buying them a gift card and giving them some groceries. Or maybe just calling someone and saying, hey, can I take you out for coffee? Sharing some scriptures, listening to them, praying with them. That helps. It helps carry that burden. And when we do things like this, you know what it's called? Being the church. It gets us past the point to where we're coming to church, to we're being the church. Church is really not about this building. Church is you. Church is me. And when we're carrying and bearing one another's burdens, we're being the church. Before we leave today, what I want you to do is I just want to challenge you to think of a name right now. I mean, a few minutes ago, I asked you the question, how are you doing with this? And it's real easy to say, oh, I'm doing great. Okay, bring a name to mind. Who you served last week or the week before. Maybe you can't think of anyone. And so I want to challenge you this week to carry someone's burden. Think of a name right now. Bring it into your mind. When you've got someone's name, raise your hand. Someone you can write a letter to, cook for, in some way help them carry a burden. Raise your hand. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray over those names. God, we just come before you, and Father, all these names that are popping into people's minds, people that they know are struggling, people that they know just need someone to come along beside them and represent you to help them bear and carry that weight. Father, help them to do that. You know, it's so hard, Father, because we get so busy with things going on in our lives that many times we miss out on the time or we just don't take enough time to help others. And so, Father, I just pray that as a church family, we just pray that you would use all of us. Father, help us to truly connect here. Help us all to be a part of this great big family. And Father, this is an amazing family. So loving and just, it's just wonderful to be a part of it. It's a blessing. And Father, I just pray that you'll continue to draw us together. Give us the strength to come alongside others and help them carry that load. And Father, we just pray this prayer in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. The lesson is yours today. First of all, I would say if you're visiting with us, today we have our fellowship meal, and we hope that you'll stick around. There'll be plenty of food, but we hope that you'll stick around and share in that meal with us. We would love to get to know you, and we would love to introduce you to our family. But if there's someone here who would like to know more about Jesus, we'd love to share the message, the story of Jesus, how He came and He sacrificed Himself to bear our sins, to carry our sin, so that we wouldn't have to carry it. But also, if you're here today and maybe there's something you're struggling with, something that we can come alongside you and pray for you about and just help you in whatever way we can, we would love to do that for you as together we stand, as we sing.